open your Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Mark in chapter number 2. I want to talk to you in this message about how to have a breakthrough in your life. How to have a breakthrough. Some of you tonight may be in need of a breakthrough. What is a breakthrough? Well, a breakthrough is when we are facing an obstacle of some kind in our lives, and somehow, by the grace of God, we get through it. And some of you may need a breakthrough spiritually. Some of you may need a breakthrough emotionally. Some of you may need a breakthrough financially. Others of you may need a breakthrough in another type of way. But we're blessed here at First Baptist to see people experience breakthroughs regularly. I think of our Christians in Recovery ministry that meets here every Tuesday night and every Thursday night, and many of the people who are in that ministry are very active in our services on Sunday, and not very many weeks goes by that we don't hear a story about somebody who was addicted to drugs of some kind, maybe cocaine, who knows what it might be, maybe they have an alcohol addiction. Maybe there for them it was a gambling problem, or maybe it's pornography, or who knows what it might be. But they started coming to the ministry, they started coming to the meetings, and God gave them a breakthrough. And now what used to be something that had them like in a grip, it no longer has them at all. I can remember when I first came on the church staff here in 1995, one of the first services that I was ever in on a Sunday night. At the end of that service, after the service was over, a man came up to me and introduced himself, and he said, "John, you don't know this about me, but for," and I can't remember if it was 30 or 40 or 50 years, he said, "I have smoked about a pack of cigarettes a day for all these years." And he said, "I've tried to stop, and I've not been successful, and I've prayed about it, and not anything's happened." He said, "But this week, my wife and I are going to be sponsors at the youth camp," which that particular camp was meeting at East Texas State University in whatever town that, how do I forget where that is? In Marshall, right? Is that where that is? It's somewhere. Wherever it is, it's in East Texas, right? That's East Texas Baptist University. And he said, "I can't go up there to be a camp sponsor if I'm smoking." And he said, "Not only that, I'm rooming with you." And I thought, well, now this would be a good week for you to kick that habit. But he was so sincere. And this man became one of them, and to this day, he and his wife are two of my, I consider them two of my closest friends. He said, "I want you to pray with me that I will be done with this smoking." And so we prayed about it. And that was in 1995, and now we're in 2017, and that man has not had a cigarette in over 22 years. Now, that is a breakthrough. For any of you who have smoked, and I've never done that, but if you've ever smoked and you know what that's like, and then when you try to stop, and maybe with you it's alcohol. I remember reading about President Bush, the younger, when he turned 40 years old, and many of you are familiar with that story, and on his 40th birthday, he got with his drinking buddies that night, and they drank, and he drank too much, and he woke up the next day, and he said to his wife, Laura, he said, "Something has got to change in my life." If you've ever read his book, Decision Points, he talks about this in the very early pages. And he made a decision and a commitment before God on his 40th birthday, or maybe the day after, that he would no longer drink alcohol, and he never has. But in that book, he talked about the difficulty that he had when he gave up that addiction, and he gave up alcohol, and he not only craved the alcohol, he craved the sugar, and how his body went through withdrawals, and how very difficult that was. I have an uncle who for years smoked, and he did the same thing my other friend did. He gave it up. But he told me, he said, "John, one of the hardest things that I ever did, because I craved that nicotine, and I would begin to shake, and I would begin to get jittery, and I would begin to get nervous." And he said, "I started trying to figure out, where do I turn when I would have turned to a cigarette?" And he said, "I don't know if I did the right thing or not, but I started turning to M&Ms. And I think he gained about 15 pounds, maybe, but over time, he got that off too, but he used that to break him from something far worse than what chocolate would be. So what I'm saying is, God is a God of breakthroughs, And tonight, I don't know what kind of breakthrough that you might be in need of, or who somebody you love might be in need of. And maybe already in this message you're thinking, well, I don't know that I need a breakthrough, but I sure wish my husband were in this service tonight, or I wish my wife were in this service tonight, or I wish my child or my grandchild were in this service tonight, because from where I sit, and I don't say this judgmentally, but I believe they need a breakthrough in their life. And so what I want to do tonight in this message is to give you some steps that you can take if you need a breakthrough, or some steps that you can share with a loved one if he or she needs a breakthrough in his life. Now, in Mark chapter 2, we read about a group of men who were in bad need. They were in desperate need of a breakthrough. They were in a situation, and they needed this situation to change, and it did change by the power of God. So let's just read the story. Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. And again, Jesus entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, there's where I got my title for tonight, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, Jesus read their mind, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this before." And so these men needed a breakthrough. Their friend was paralyzed. Maybe he was a quadriplegic. We don't know. But we know that he couldn't walk. He was a paralytic, and he was lying on this mat. And so these friends began carrying him to Jesus. Finally, after much hard work, they got him to Jesus. And when they got him there, first thing Jesus did, he saved him. And then Jesus healed him of his physical problem, and he got up and he walked. But my point is, they needed a breakthrough of some kind, and by the grace of God, that is exactly what they received. Now, what can we learn from this passage of Scripture? How can we apply this passage to our lives so that tonight, if we're in need of a breakthrough, we can say, you know what? God hasn't changed. The same God who healed this man can deliver or heal me of whatever it is that I might be going through. And so I want to give you tonight 6 steps, very simple. And you can just jot these down, because I think these are the 6 steps that any person has to take in order to experience the breakthrough that he or she might need. Number one, identify the problem. Identify the problem. In other words, you say, "I need a breakthrough." Well, I would say to you, you need a breakthrough from what? Identify that. Give that problem a name. Maybe for you, it is a judgmental spirit, and you're always criticizing, or you're always knocking somebody for something they did wrong, and it makes you bitter and kind of angry and harsh, a little bit cold-blooded to be around, and it's just kind of who you are, and you say, "I don't want to keep being this way." Well, just give that a name and say, "I need a breakthrough from a judgmental or a bitter spirit." That's a legitimate thing. Whatever it is, give it a name. Some of you will know the name of Louis Giglio. Louis Giglio is one of the greatest Christian speakers who has ever lived. He grew up in First Baptist Church of Atlanta, came up under the ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. In fact, Louis is best friends with Dr. Stanley's son, Andy. They grew up together, and they've been friends for a long, long time. And I can remember when I was at Baylor, on Monday nights, there used to be a college worship service that met in 7th and James Baptist Church there on the campus of Baylor University, and Louis was the preacher of that. It was back when like now at A&M, they have a service called Breakaway that meets, and Greg Mott, who used to lead that, is now the pastor of First Baptist Church in Houston, and now pretty much all the schools have some kind of a big Christian worship service just for college students on a particular night of the week. Well, Louis was kind of the pioneer of that movement, and he started it at Baylor. He ends up moving to Atlanta, and he was still doing those type services, and then for years he and Andy were at the same church, and he would lead a service like that. And some of you may be familiar with the Passion Movement. The college students here tonight know about that every year in January, there's a big gathering of college students. This year it was in the Georgia Dome. Thousands, tens of thousands of college students from all over the country and probably from the world gathered in the Georgia Dome, and the services were designed to speak to the needs of college-age students. And Louis is not only the leader of that movement, he's the founder of that, the Passion Movement. Well, a few years ago, back in about 2008, when Louis turned 50, he did something that he had never done before. He decided, or he felt God calling him, to pastor a church. He had never done that. He had always been the great communicator, the great speaker, but he had never been really what you'd call on a church staff, certainly not as a pastor. And so he started a church in Atlanta that he called Passion City Church. And I've not been to it, but if you're ever in Atlanta, it would be one of the churches that you would do well maybe and go and worship there. But anyway, after he had started that church and getting the ball rolling, and now the church has started and he's trying to give leadership to the church, he began to have what he describes as a nervous breakdown. And I have heard him talk about this several times recently, and I must confess to you, when he started talking about this, it shocked me, because as somebody who has followed his ministry for 25 or more years, he was the last person I would ever have chosen to have had a nervous breakdown. He is cool. I mean, this man is a cool cat. I mean, he's just smooth. And yet he said that when he started that church, he began to feel a pressure as a pastor that he had never felt as a speaker. Because if you're the speaker, you come in and speak, and then you walk out and you go speak somewhere else. It's great ministry, but you're not making any decisions, you're not doing anything, but except speaking. And he said, as a pastor, I was having to make decisions. And he said, I discovered that when I made a decision, not everybody in the church liked the decision. And he said, this was a church I started. And I thought, well, if they came to the church I started, surely everybody's going to like the decisions I make. And he said, the pressure of trying to navigate all that caused him to have a nervous breakdown. And it was so bad that for 4 months, he was not able to leave his house. He couldn't leave his house. Not only did he not preach, he didn't drive, he didn't go out to a restaurant, he didn't do anything. He stayed in his house, and he describes the anxiety that he felt, the panic that he felt, all this emotion. And he said that he believes his central nervous system completely shut down. And he goes on to say that at the end of about 4 months, one day or night, he was laying in his bed praying to God about this, saying, God, I don't know. I've never been like this. I can't even function. I can't even leave my house, much less lead people. And he began to sing one of his favorite worship songs. And he says that as he began to sing that, as he began to worship God, he'd been singing and praying and worshiping God all along this 4 months, but something about this particular day that God just lifted that cloud off of him, and he began to return to normal. Well, it's interesting. Last night, I was watching something, and he was back talking about this nervous breakdown that he had had. And the person who was interviewing him said, "Well, now, Louis, are you completely over that now?" And Louis said, "Well, I think I'm as over it as I can be at this point." He said, "But I would be dishonest if I said to you that I'm back to where I was before I had this." He said, "Someone has described a nervous breakdown to me like this. It's kind of like a tennis racket." For those of you who play tennis, you'll appreciate this illustration. If you're playing tennis and one of the strings on that racket breaks, you can tape that thing up. You can try to tie it back up. You can put duct tape around it. You can put cardboard. You can do whatever you want to do. But the only way that that racket is ever going to be right again and be able to hit that tennis ball and have that same spring that it had once, you're going to have to restring the whole racket. And Louis said, "What happened to me was one of my strings just came loose. And I'm still in the process of being restrung." And he said, "I know that's kind of a wild way to answer your question." He said, "Yes, I think I'm through that, the worst part of that." He said, "But I still at times am struggling with panic." And I'm just sitting here, I think, this is Louis Giglio. There's no way this man, I don't mean panic necessarily about standing up and preaching a sermon, although after what he's been through, it could apply. He could get nervous in settings where he maybe never got nervous before. But the point I'm making is, it doesn't matter if you're Louis Giglio, Billy Graham, or whoever. At the end of the day, we're still human. Amen? And even the people we hold in such high esteem, folks, they got the same central nervous systems you and I have. And nobody is superhuman. And so it can happen to anybody. But Louis was describing how he has experienced and still is experiencing a breakthrough from that emotional situation that he was in. But the point I'm making is he gave it a name. He said, "God, what I need is a breakthrough from this nervous breakdown that I am experiencing." And like I say, he has and he is experiencing that. And I wish you would maybe add Louis to your prayer list. Louis and his wife Shelley don't have any children, but they're a wonderful couple. And I wish you would pray that God would bless them and give them grace and that he would be completely set free from that. But that's the first step. Identify the problem. Step number two, start moving towards Jesus. Start moving in the direction of Jesus. When you look back in verse number 3, it says, "Then they came to Jesus, bringing a paralytic who was carried by 4 men. So they just started moving in the general vicinity, in the general direction of Jesus Christ. And that's what you've done tonight by coming to church. You may not have thought of it that in that exact way, but when you came to church tonight, you were moving closer to Jesus. Every time you read your Bible, every time you pray, you're moving in the direction of Jesus. And so if you need a breakthrough, that's what you need to do. Anything and everything that you can do to move towards Jesus. I got a text message today from a friend who was having a medical procedure down in the medical center today. She was having a treadmill test to see how good her heart is doing. And she had texted me a couple of days ago, asked me to pray for her. And she texted me today, and she said, "John, I think the test went well." She said, "I didn't get to meet with my doctor afterwards. He was called out on an emergency, but," she said, "I think I did fine on the test." I texted her back, and I said, "On those treadmill tests, that's one test. If you have a problem, you find out pretty quickly about that. You know, they're going to tell you, you need to go have surgery right now." But I said, "If you didn't have it, you're fine. If you had, no news is good news." But she said to me, she said, "Yesterday, in anticipation of this test, every hour on the hour, she prayed for the first 10 minutes of that hour." I never had heard of that before. And she told me about how she, what she was praying for during that time. But nonetheless, she was moving towards Jesus, moving towards God when she was doing those prayers. And so anything we can do to move us in the direction of Jesus. You know, in life, we're always either moving towards Jesus or moving away from Jesus. We're never staying the same. And so we always want to be moving in His general direction. Number three thing we need to do, and that is join hands with like-minded people. Evidently, there were probably four people, four men carrying this man, one on each corner, but they were all doing the same thing together. And that says to me, when we need a breakthrough, more than likely, we need more than just us and God to experience that breakthrough. We need other people. You need your spouse. You need some friends, some accountability partners, people in your connection group, whoever. You need some other Christians who are like-minded, who see the need, who see your situation, and they are committed to doing everything they can to help you have a breakthrough. For example, if you need a breakthrough from alcohol, it probably would not be wise to keep spending a lot of time with your drinking buddies, because you're trying to break from that, and nothing against them. I'm not judging them, but I'm saying they're not trying to break free from that. They're not, to them, that's not an issue. They're not praying tonight, God, set me free from this. But you are, and so if you keep associating too much with them, it's going to be tough because you're going in a different direction. And so what we need to do is join hands with like-minded people. You need some friends. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of his friends. And so we need each other. And then the fourth thing I would say, be determined and don't give up. Be determined and don't give up. Sometimes a breakthrough comes natural. I mean, gradually. Sometimes it comes immediately. We wish that it always came immediately, but it doesn't. Sometimes it comes gradually. I think of certain breakthroughs I've had in my life, and most all of them have come gradually. They didn't come immediately. They came over a process of time. Now, these men who brought this man to Jesus, they were determined. Look again in verse 4. And when they could not come near Jesus because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof that was where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. You're talking about determination. Jesus was staying in a house in Capernaum. And we know that Capernaum was the city where Jesus it was the headquarters for his Galilean ministry. And more than likely, he was living in Simon Peter's house, which was right across the little street there from the synagogue in Capernaum. That was the house Jesus had gone to and healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. She had the fever. Jesus healed her, and then she got up and served all the people there. So Jesus was probably living in that house. And back in Bible times, the houses had flat roofs. They didn't have them like we have them pitched so the water can drain down. They had flat roofs, and they were made out of slabs of clay, dried clay. They ran horizontal beams across the top of the houses, and then they would place these slabs of dried clay on top of that, and then they would get wet clay, and they would lay on top, it'd be a second really layer of clay, or maybe even more layers than that, to prevent water from coming through. It was kind of a sealant. And so the people back in Bible times would go up on top of the roof of their house all the time. If it was a pretty day or pretty morning, most of the houses had external staircases going up to the roof, and they would climb up there, and in the morning they would just sit out on the roof. We read another place where Peter one day was at a man's house, and he was up on the roof, and he was praying. Or sometimes if it was the heat of the summer and it was so hot that you couldn't sleep, a family might climb that staircase, get up on top of that roof, and they would sleep outside all night, and the air would cool them down. And so these men took the paralytic up this, presumably up a staircase, and when they got up there, they started peeling back the different layers of this slab, and they would let the man through because so many people were in the house they couldn't go through the front door, and that's how they got the man to Jesus. But the point is, they were very determined and they did not give up. They just kept pulling the slabs of clay off until they could drop that, or not drop him, but gently let him down right before Jesus. So I'm saying to you tonight, if you need a breakthrough, it may not happen before midnight. It may not happen before Sunday. It may not happen before Labor Day. It may not happen before the end of the year. Or it might happen before this service is over. I don't know. But be determined and don't give up. And especially if you're trying to break a habit. You know, I shared about my friend earlier who had smoking and then he quit and he never smoked again. That's a beautiful testimony, but it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes people have a thing they're trying to break, they stop, and then they fall back and they do it again, and it's kind of two steps forward and one step back. Well, the way I look at it, two steps forward and one step back, if you just keep doing that, you're making progress. And so don't maybe expect that it's going to all happen as quickly as you would like for it to. Just don't give up. And then the next thing I would say is trust God for the breakthrough. Believe, have faith in God that He is able to set you free from whatever this is you need. In verse number 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith. And so it was their faith that touched the heart of Jesus. These men, the four who were carrying the paralytic and the paralytic himself, I don't believe he was being carried against his will to Jesus. These men believed that Jesus was able to do something about the situation. And I know that sounds like overly obvious and like, well, of course we, but it's not. And it needs to be stated and it needs to be applied. We have to have in our heart a belief and a faith that God is able to set us free. I think what happens to so many people in life, they have struggled with something for so long that they just get to thinking, well, this is just who I am. And I've had this struggle for so many years. What are the odds of this? What are the odds of it ever changing? Well, I don't know what the odds are of it changing, but I know this. If you have faith in God, God has the power to change it. And I take God's power over the odds any day. But what you have to have is a faith and a belief that says, God, I believe, if you're Louis Giglio, that you are able to restore me to my full strength and even beyond that. See, I would say you would need to even believe that God is able to make you stronger after a nervous breakdown than you were before. Not just get you back where you were, but to take you beyond that. Or if whatever the issue might be, God, I believe that you are able to set me free. If you're a chronic worrier, that's the most respectable sin in the church, right? Worrying. I mean, nobody's going to be too hard on the worrier. We get the drinker and the smoker and the pornographer and the gambler. But the worrier, he kind of gets by, not too hard on the worry. And yet worrying is really a sin. And worrying can be just as destructive as some of these other things that I have mentioned, if not more so, what it does to the human body. But I think there's some people say, well, I'm just a worrier, and I've always been a worrier, and it's just kind of who I am. It may be who you are, but it's not who you have to remain as. And God can set you free from that, but you've got to have faith. You've got to say, God, I believe that you are able to set me free from being this type of person, such a word. You're able to change me, and you're able to make me a brand new creation. And then I would say for the sixth and the last step that you can take to have a breakthrough in your life, and that is simply this. Let what has happened on your inside affect how you live on the outside. Let what has happened, let who is living on the inside change how you live on the outside. Now, this is very interesting. In verse number 5, when Jesus saw their faith, they brought this paralytic to Jesus. He said to this man, son, your sins are forgiven you. And so the first thing Jesus did was he addressed a spiritual problem. You see, when they brought the man to Jesus, they were thinking he has a physical problem. Well, he had a physical problem, but he had a spiritual problem that was far more serious. And so Jesus didn't start out by making it where he could walk again. He started out by forgiving his sins and by saving him. And then the scribes and Pharisees and all, they're thinking, well, who do you think you are saying your sins are forgiven? Only God can forgive sins. Well, they were right in that part. Only God can forgive sins. But what they didn't understand was Jesus is God. So they missed that part. Jesus read their mind in verse 8, and he says, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And so the man did that. And they were all amazed. And so the point is that Jesus saved this man. He forgave this man of all of his sins. And then after he did that, he healed this man and the man could walk. Think about this. When that man took his mat and walked out of that house, that was proof to everybody else in the house of two things. It was proof, first of all, that Jesus has power to heal. And it was proof, secondly, that Jesus has the power to forgive sins and to save people. Because the physical miracle was just to prove that the spiritual was true. And so what I'm saying to you is, if you are in need of a breakthrough, first thing I would do tonight, if I were in need of a breakthrough of any kind, is that I would ask myself this question. Is my relationship with God right? Is there any spiritual reason that I'm not experiencing a breakthrough? You know, I mean, if you're not saved, that'd be the main thing. But if there's some other sin in your life, or maybe there's complacency, something in your heart that's just not quite right, I think the wise thing to do would be to say, God, is there anything in me that is preventing this breakthrough? And then if God doesn't reveal anything, or if He does reveal something and you deal with that and you say, well, I've not had the breakthrough yet. I think I'm right with God, but I've still not experienced my breakthrough. What I would encourage you to do, as best as you can, start living. This is a lot easier for me to say than it is for anybody to do, but this is still good advice. Start living as though you were set free from that, even if you don't feel set free from that. You just start living as though you're set free from that. I mean, when Jesus said to that paralytic, take up your mat and walk, that man could have logically responded to Jesus by saying, Jesus, I would love to do that, but I can't walk. That's the whole point. I'm a paralytic. You're asking me to do the one thing that I can't do. And yet, what did he do? He took his mat, and he stood up, and he walked out the door. And so, if you're struggling, I keep coming back to some of these ones that are so easy to illustrate. I cannot emphasize enough, these are not the only ones, and they may not even be the worst ones, but like alcohol or smoking or depression, say. You say, this is what I need a breakthrough from, okay? Start living like that thing is no longer an issue in your life. If it's alcohol, just say, you know what? I'm going to live like that's no longer an issue for me. Or if it's depression, just say, I mean, if you need to go to a doctor and have that, but if it's just a spirit of depression that has no physiological cause, I would just say, when you wake up in the morning, start living as though you're not depressed. And you say, well, John, you're acting, that's almost like mind over matter. No, I don't believe in mind over matter, but I do believe the mind does matter. You remember in Luke chapter 17 when Jesus healed the 10 lepers? They had this leprosy. They came to Jesus and they said, have mercy on us. This is ruining our lives, this leprosy. And Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. Well, the only reason a leper would go and show himself to the priest would be if he had been healed of his leprosy. That's how you validated that the healing was legitimate. But when Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest, they still had leprosy. And it's an interesting thing, and I think it's Luke 17, it's down in that chapter, I can't remember the exact verse reference, but it says this, I think it's verse 4, as they went, they were healed. Say that with me. As they went, they were healed. You know, that verse became real to me in 2014. In fact, it's one of the verses that we have put in your little book, Hiding His Word in Our Heart. I can remember back in 2014, I was having a little eye problem. And I've told you about that before, but I was having a muscle spasm in my right eye. And the main culprit was I just needed to wear glasses. And I had a doctor said, if you'll start wearing glasses, this will go away eventually. And thank God it did. But it was so bad that there were like three Sunday nights I couldn't even drive myself home from church because everything was so blurry. And if you've ever had any kind of vision disorientation, that's a very scary thing. And I can remember about 2 or 3 months after that had happened, and I was back. I mean, I could drive home from church on Sunday night. I mean, these lights were messing it up. But I remember having a fear that what if I get out to the grocery store and everything gets blurry and I can't go home? Or what if I'm at the gym and everything gets blurry because there's bright lights in the gym and I can't get home? Or what if I get across town and everything gets bad? You know, and one day I came across that verse in Luke chapter 17 about those lepers. And it says, and as they went, they were healed. And it was like God spoke to me and said, that's your verse for this very minor eye problem that you've had. You're going to be healed just going out there and living your life. Now, at this point, I was in no danger driving. I mean, everything was fine. But I remember I just started living like that I had never had an eye problem. And by that time, I didn't even have an eye problem. I was just afraid it was going to come back. But God gave me that verse. As they went, they were healed. And I thought, well, you know what? As I resume to my normal way of living, that's how I'm going to be healed. And so what I'm saying is, I think there comes a point in all of our lives, and for me, I guess that was fear or anxiety or nervousness about getting out there and having a problem. I think it's normal, but it was very real for me, and I knew I couldn't live like that for the rest of my life. And so I had to get to a point where I said, God, as best as I can, I'm just going to get out there and live my life and trust you to set me free from the fear that was beginning to get in me about what's going to happen if I get, you know, out there. And so for you tonight, if you are battling or struggling in some area and you say, I need a breakthrough, what I'm encouraging you to do is this. Live like it has already happened. Just live like it's happened. And one of these days, or it may be even quicker than that, you're going to find out, by God's grace, it has happened. And the same thing that happened to me is what happened to those lepers. As I went my way, that's when I was healed. Whereas if we just stand still and say, Jesus, I will declare my healing, or I will declare my liberty, or I will proclaim my freedom as soon as I can see the change. Like if those lepers would have said, Jesus, we'll go to the priest, we'll go to the temple as soon as we see that this leprosy is gone. Then we'll go. I don't think they ever would have been healed. They had to take a step of faith. And that's what you have to do. You have to take a step of faith, and you have to begin living like that is no longer an issue in your life. And Father, as I said, I know that's a lot easier for me to say than it is for any of us to do. And yet, I think it is the way to freedom. I think it is the way to experience a breakthrough. As they went, they were healed. And as we go our way, believing that you're greater than any of these problems that we have, you're able to set us free. And so tonight, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, what do you need a breakthrough from? Give it a name. Give it a name. Ask God right now for a breakthrough. Just that simply. Say, Lord, I need a breakthrough from fear, from alcohol, from drugs, from pornography, from anger, from bitterness, from depression, from sickness. God, I need a breakthrough. And God, as I ask you for the breakthrough, right now, I trust you for that breakthrough. I trust you. And Lord, from tonight moving forward, I'm going to just live as though the breakthrough has already happened. I'm going to quit focusing on what I need the breakthrough from, and I'm going to just start thanking you that the breakthrough is mine. Because I've prayed for it. I know that it is your will for me to have it. And so, God, by faith tonight, I just claim it. I receive it, even if I'm not yet fully experiencing it. I claim the breakthrough. And God, if I wake up tomorrow, or I wake up on Friday, or I wake up on Saturday, and I'm struggling, or some other time during the day, I'm struggling with this thing again, I'm going to just be determined, And I'm going to just keep saying, Lord, I'm claiming the breakthrough. Even today, I don't feel it. I claim it by faith. I don't live by my feelings anyway. Fooey with my feelings. I claim it by faith. Now, some here tonight need to experience what that paralytic experienced before he received his breakthrough. You need to be saved. You need Jesus Christ to come and live in your heart to forgive your sins. There's something more important than that breakthrough you long for, and that is a right relationship with God. If you're not sure that you're saved, would you just pray this prayer? Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you now to come into my heart, forgive my sins, and make me a Christian. I ask you to save me. I trust you to do it. Lord, that's the main thing anyways, my relationship with you. So Jesus, I trust you tonight to save me. And Lord, I ask you to give me the courage I need during this next song to come forward and make this decision public. In Jesus' name I pray. And all the people said, Amen.